I spoke to a resident of L'Île-aux-Allumettes, Wayne Wilson, who spoke to me about a situation that's been persisting in L'Île-aux-Allumettes for quite some time now concerning Bell landline phones and the infrastructure surrounding the whole thing. Some people on L'Île-aux-Allumettes can go days or weeks without having access to landline phones. So in this interview, we're going to hear from Wayne Wilson, a resident of L'Île-aux-Allumettes, about his experience with Bell over the years.
Survive that blow we had yesterday?
Yeah, I almost didn't. I almost got stuck in the parking lot here at work, so I almost didn't make it back. Lots of power outages. I was driving through Otter Lake. I was going back home, and the power actually blinked twice as I was driving through the town, and it's not a very big town. So
yeah, we were lucky over on Allumette Island that the Pequannock went out, but that was sort of to be expected. But the power was fine, and there there was a little bit of a sort of a instantaneous brownout, and then it came back again.
That's good. Yeah. So it's working for Hydro-Québec, whatever is going on, so that's good.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it was a long uphill slug for everybody around here. We spent a lot of time and effort to bring the Pontiac to the attention of Hydro-Québec.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it properly, you know. We didn't go out screaming out and gnashing our teeth in public or anything, but we just basically said, look, I helped Dave generate his statistics, and we corroborated. So if it went out at my place, I phoned him. If it went out at his place, he phoned me, you know, and Louis Lair and a number of other people. And so we had some very specific evidence to be able to share with them. And the other interesting thing was, I don't know if you've ever heard of Julie Barlow. Julie is, she's in sort of an independent writer, and she wrote a book, which I commend to you as a journalist, and it's the history of Hydro-Québec.
Hmm.
And so there's some really, really interesting stuff in there. And we contacted her and said, look, you know, you've painted a fairly rosy picture here of a world-beating corporation, but here's the straight goods from the people who have to live with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very, very interesting, the interaction between us and her. And she, of course, was connected to the very senior people in Hydro-Québec. So she could go and say, hey, have you ever heard of, you know, Wayne Wilson? Have you ever heard of Dave Gillespie on Allumette Island? Have you ever heard of what they have to put up with? 75 outages one year, over 100 outages one other year. And so we kind of quietly brought it to their attention, and then they started to take action because there were some structural issues that had to be addressed, you know, like, I mean, infrastructure kinds of problems that they had to deal with, because they were getting all of the bad publicity, and a certain amount of the fault had to be at Brookfield's feet too, you know, from the dam in Waltham. So it was that was an interesting process. We also had testimony from you know, large agricultural outfits, and it was costing them tens of thousands of dollars a year just to maintain their industrial equipment, because every time there was an outage, their software for their cattle, their software for their milk machines would all go down. And they'd have to bring people from God knows where, mostly from Montreal, to reprogram all of this stuff.
That's crazy.
Oh,
I couldn't imagine.
If you're talking about trying to improve the economic development of the region, Christ, it's a pretty sad kind of statement to have to make, you know?
Yeah, well, especially before going ahead with a lot of stuff, it should be, you know, improving the infrastructure in some places, because it's well and good if it's good in, like, the little towns. But if you live outside of anywhere, you know what I mean, down a road, or you don't get the same services.
No.
It's completely different, so.
Well, that's probably a good segue into what we want to chat about today.
Yeah.
And that's basically local Bell service. We've lived on the island here for 15 years. Pamela and I are both retired Algonquin College profs from Ottawa, and I'm originally from Deep River. So I'm related to all the Wilsons in the valley, both sides of the river. My grandmother came from Shawville, so I've kind of got a foot in both camps. So we built a house over on Jean B. Taylor Drive, which is near Desjardinsville, and it was on the water, and beautiful place. We loved it. It just got to the point where it was too big for us, you know. I mean, we're in our 70s, and we just decided that we'd like something a little smaller. Anyway, all to say, we have had multiple outages from Bell over the years. Some have been notified, but others not. I've had a kind of a love-hate relationship with them for many years, because recently what's happened is you phone customer service, or you get some customer service rep, and they promise you the sky, you know, they promise you everything that you ask for, and in your next bill, the promises just disappear. And this has happened to me a couple of times where I've said, no, I'm a long-term customer. I don't want to, for example, when I switched phones, landline phones, I don't want to pay $49 for you to push a button on your computer, so I'd like to have that waived. And the person that I was speaking to said, yeah, okay, we understand. It'll be waived. I get my next month's bill, the reconnect charge is on the bill. So you have to phone again, find somebody else, explain the situation. And this has happened to me twice now. It's happened to me with when we moved into our rental here on the island. They said, yes, we'll reconnect you. And I said, I don't want to pay the reconnection fee. And they said, yes, that's okay. Well, they charged me, so I had to go through that whole exercise again. And then the same thing happened with, they just arbitrarily send you an email or a letter saying, we no longer are going to provide you with a paper bill every month.
It's all going online.
That it's all going online. My response to that was, would you like to pay for me to get a $1,000 computer? And would you like to pay for me $100 a month for internet service?
Yeah,
because these are all the personal infrastructure costs that these clowns are assuming people like us have or we're prepared to get. And it's wrong. There's something wrong here with this assumption that everybody in the world or in Canada or in Bell's purview can afford to buy personal equipment that is required to interact with these corporations.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit yesterday too, and you kind of said it, even if you have all these things like computers and printers, we don't necessarily have the infrastructure everywhere in the Pontiac to use it, like internet, and sometimes hydro goes out as well.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, the point here is, I find it arrogant on the part of corporations, and let's face it, Bell is not the only one. I mean, going online, you know, and this sort of stuff. Well, wait a minute. There's a certain percentage of the population who don't want to go online. They don't want to have to pay, you know, $50 or $60 a month for a smartphone. They don't want to have to do that. And it goes on and on and on. I'm ventilating a little bit here, but I'm also describing the world as it is evolving and how 70-year-olds are being totally left behind. We don't count, and we don't count in terms of corporate America. We don't count in terms of these huge service and corporations like Bell. And so what happens is you end up being snarky on the phone. You end up being defensive. And I even had a situation when I was trying to get the phone hooked up here where I was speaking to a Bell employee, and God knows where she was from, or I didn't ask her. I mean, they're from the Philippines, they're from Bangladesh, they're from all over the place. Could I please have your employee number? And the critical thing about that is that when you're dealing with Bell, if you don't have the employee number of the person you're talking to, you do not have any way of being able to, at a later date, call up what's on your file. If you don't get that number, the next time the same problem happens or you continue to have the same problem and you phone again, you have to have that employee number to be able to get back to what's been happening.
Yeah, and it's not always the case that people exactly know where the Pontiac is in the Utoida. I heard David Gillespie say it in the French version of an interview that he did concerning the Bell. And, you know, people don't exactly know if they're from out of the country, out of the continent. They don't know exactly where
they haven't got a clue. They absolutely haven't got a clue. I'll give you another example. This is, well, I think it's humorous, but I mean, if you drive from Allumette Island across the bridges to Ontario and you're going to Pembroke, let's say, on Morrison's Island, there is a string of poles that I'm assuming are telephone poles because there are no, well, they're different from the hydro poles. And the telephone lines have, I would say, at least a half a dozen trees that have fell on the lines. And nobody's come around to fix it. So, you know, I phone Bell, and I'm just a concerned citizen. I mean, I'm just saying, look, it looks like this is a trunk line because the line looks like it's probably an inch and a half in diameter. Could you send a team around to take down the trees that are pulling the lines down? Oh, yes, Mr. Wilson, yes, if I, by all means. Here is the work order number, or the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I think they call them ticket numbers. Here's the ticket number. Okay, write the ticket number down. I did that 2 years ago, and the lines have not been cleared. As a matter of fact, there are now more trees on the line than there used to be. And because we've moved and packed and everything, I've lost the ticket number, so I can't go back and you know, bring up the ticket number. But I'm sure I was dealing with someone who didn't have a clue about where I was talking about, what Morrison's Island was. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All they had was a ticket number to give me. The only way they could track this problem described by Mr. Wilson was Mr. Wilson's telephone number.
And then sometimes they wouldn't be able to reach you as well because...
Exactly. And they never phoned back. Nobody ever phoned back. So you got to ask yourself, how does that work? The point here is that there are all kinds of issues like that that people around here and locals who have been, you know, been born here and brought up and live here, they've just sort of given up.
After a few times of trying and nothing's happened, like, we still see it. We saw photos in an article that was posted earlier this week of plastic bags over some of the equipment from Bell as well.
Oh yeah. Oh, you see that quite frequently around here. The brown metal posts that tie in all the lines. Some of them have their covers off. I mean, I've seen some of these posts that have orange garbage bags wrapped with tape, and they've been there for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you just say, good Lord, what's the story here? Are the tech guys too busy? Are there not enough tech guys to keep on top of things? Is the region so large that they don't have sufficient equipment and personnel to be able to look after it? All of these are issues that, you know, come to mind. I must tell you that it took me to get this landline hooked up in the cottage that we rented 10 days. At least 10 days, and I had to speak to 8 different people, 8, about getting the landline hooked up. Now, it wasn't until the 2 tech guys, nice guys, these guys are saving Bell's bacon, because all they can do is do their very best and be pleasant, because the rest of the structure of the company is certainly not supporting them very much. And after my 10-day experience, he showed up here one Friday night and said, Mr. Wilson, we've found the problem, and I think, I've solved the line problem, but he said, the people from Fort Kalunge won't come this late on a Friday afternoon to hook up your line, to hook up your phone. So he said, I used to do that job for years. So he said, I just got all of the information, and I'm going to the exchange in Chapo, and I'll do it, and I'll phone you in 20 minutes when it's done and you're hooked up. Because I had said to him about 2 days earlier, when Bell initially said, oh yeah, there's no problem, we'll have your line hooked up, we can do that, we don't have to come into your house or anything, we can do it from remotely, I had sent out an email basically saying, well, you can get a hold of us on our old number because Bell's going to have it hooked up in the next day. And now it's 10 days later, and we still don't have a phone, and they're going to start worrying that something's happened to us. So it's a security issue. It's a community issue and a security issue.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say they're going to do something, if they can't do it, you would think that there would be some obligation on the part of the corporation to have somebody pick up the phone and say, look, we thought we could do this remotely. We can't. We're going to have to go back and the techs are going to have to find the problem in the line. And it's going to be a couple of days, but we'll keep you apprised. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, it's a security issue as well, because like you said, you're in your 70s, and if something went wrong and you didn't have a telephone, you wouldn't be able
to
call anybody.
And right. And the other thing is that in this location, and in Chapo, for example, the town of Chapo, there's no cell service.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even use a cell phone as a backup.
So when something goes out, when the telephone line goes out, that's pretty much the end of the line.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. And the other interesting thing was that during this 10-day period, one day Pamela picked up the phone and there were 2 gals talking on the phone. And Pamela said, oh, hi, we must be on a party line. So they all started to laugh. And, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you can't started getting angry with them. So she hung up, and they hung up, and one of them phoned Bell, and we phoned Bell. So we could phone out, but nobody could phone in. Then we find out, because we're talking to the techs who are in the area and who know the area, by their own admission, the lines are just in terrible, terrible shape. Certainly from Chapeau to the head of the island, which is the western tip of Alumet Island. I mean, it's just god-awful. There are people who lose their landline service, on a weekly, monthly basis.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, it could be life or death sometimes, especially with the snowstorm that we had yesterday.
Well, yes, of course. Good example. I mean, for a lot of rural people, the landline is still the gold standard, mainly because for a lot of people, cell service is so bad, the cell reception is so bad that they can't rely on it, and so they have to have Bell lines. Now, the other thing is that with Hydro-Quebec outages, you can't use your cell phone because the batteries wear down, and you just there's no way, even if you could get service. And so the only way that you can communicate during an outage is with a landline, because they're independent and they're independently powered. So nobody seems to want to admit that this is, 19th century technology, but it's proven, it's safe, it's foolproof, anybody can use it. But as far as these corporations are concerned, if it's not Bluetooth organized or hooked up to your cell phone or your smartphone, they don't want anything to do with you.
They don't know the realities of the region so far as to like the bigger places or the towns or stuff like that.
But I mean, can you imagine if what would happen if Montreal had the kind of service that we have?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'd be blood in the street.
Yeah, and this is something as well that's been going on, not only with you, but with a lot of people on Alumet Island.
Yeah, I was talking to Louis Lair, one of our counselors, the other day, and he's had his problems with Bell lines as well, but he started to phone his sisters, sister-in-laws, brothers, and all of a sudden, he started to realize these people have just given up. If they have an outage once a week, well, they just take it in stride. Who are we going to talk to? They're not going to do anything anyway, so what the hell? We're just living with it. And that's the attitude. And so, as Louis said, well, wait a minute. If nobody says anything, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. Was this brought up in any council meetings whatsoever over the last few years?
Yeah, Louis brought it up. And the mayor here, Winston Sundstrom, said that he was going to contact a person or a representative at Bell because he knew them, and that hasn't happened. He has other fish to fry, I guess. But the point is that it's one of these kind of situations where you're going up against a huge corporation, and what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So people kind of, all kinds of people, and politicians, if they can't get short-term success, they tend not to want to put in the equity into getting some kind of meaningful communication going with a huge corporation like Bell or mm-hmm. Hydro-Quebec, for that matter.
Yeah, and we were talking about it as well just a little bit a while ago with the storm, and yesterday you were telling me your hydro might have blinked or a little bit of an outage, but that's about it. So
yep.
Things getting better on the island in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Dave's statistics, and we go back, I think, 10 years, and you can see there was a time when it was just god-awful. I mean, over 100 outages in a year. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Almost every third day or fourth
day.
Yeah,
I mean, it was god-awful. And, I mean, I can understand the storms and trees coming down, and we're in a rural area and okay and all that sort of stuff, but still, it was patently clear that there was something seriously wrong with their infrastructure. And they spent a fair amount of time and money to improve it, and that does show in the most recent statistics.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're back faced with the same kind of situation with Bell. It would seem to me that, and I've recommended this to Louis on council, he's bringing forward a motion for council to start this whole exercise of bringing Alumet Island's Bell's lack of service to the attention of Bell and to the organization that takes in customer complaints for telecommunications companies. So my understanding is that he's going to proceed with that. Bell has has to sit up and take notice when CRTC or when this other organization that gets a complaint, a legitimate complaint, they have to respond. You know what I mean? Because it's a quasi-public service. I mean, it's a private company, but the point here is this is a fundamental part of our infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're in the process of moving in that direction. But the other thing is that it's very difficult and time-consuming to get hard data about just how severe the service deterioration has been. So you're in a kind of a catch-22 situation. You know, you want to complain and you want Bell to do something, but on the other hand, you don't have confirmable statistics which says on the island over the course of the last year there have been 28 customers who've had
interruptions
of their service for 4 hours or more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's the kind of shit that these corporations demand. If you expect them to take you seriously.
Mm-hmm. It's hard for, like you said, just ordinary people that have these problems to present it, because sometimes
exactly
they don't want to do anything. And
well, that's why I recommended to Dave that CHIP consider one of their surveys around this issue, just to see what the response would be, and at least there would be some indication of, you know, what people think of the Bell service in the region. That might be really valuable.
Yeah,
for this issue. You know, I mean, what it might do is it might spur a lot of much more interest, you know, or testimony on the part of people who just, well, wait a minute, I thought this was an outage every week was normal. Well, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not alone.
Well, thank you very much for letting us talk to you today, and hopefully we'll get this out to the public eye.
Great. Thanks, Jake. Bye-bye.